that the Holy Spirit's been stirring you about becoming an outside-the-box Christian and belonging to an outside-the-box church. Amen? I think we've been called and ordained to bring the gospel message to this generation. Not just us, but many churches right now. I don't know what other churches are doing along this line, but I know that God is usually when He works on us, He's working on other churches as well at the same time. And I believe that we need to quit being a traditional church and get outside the box, right? All along, it's been the desire of our heart to build a church that didn't have the restraints of others, to be one that could minister to our community, and by doing that, advancing the kingdom of God. I think the evangelism that needs to take place a lot of times is just being out there helping with what we see, doing what we can put our hands to, and providing for things that are not necessarily taken care of. I believe we can make a difference if we minister to our community. We can advance the kingdom of God, right? Okay, so I think to do that, it takes a little different church than the norm, and I hope you agree with that. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
Please also agree with me that there's a desperate need for us to reach our current generation. Every day I see evidence that God needs to come on the scene. And folks, He uses people. He uses you and me and people like us to minister to this generation. So I think He likes to work, God does. And I don't think He likes to work in confinement. I think He likes to be able to spread His wings, so to speak. Amen? And so I want Him to have His way this morning as we continue talking about becoming an outside-the-box church. Amen? All right, so I've said this before, and I've heard people say, I wish we could get our church outside these four walls. People here, people in other churches. There's something that we can easily do. We can get accustomed to our four no more or our church no more and leave that outside world to somebody else. But God wants us to take care of that as well as in out there as well as in here. Amen? And I think we need to do exactly that. And with the relocation of this church, I think these messages have come at a predestined time also. So let's just believe. Let's let God inspire us to be a little more radical in our church life, in our Christian walk, becoming a little more radical. But to do that, we need to get past a major, major hurdle. And that hurdle is conservatism as it relates to our belief in God and what He wants us to do, our actions toward Him. Folks, we need to trust Him. And I know He wants to take us to new heights, so let's just trust Him. Amen? Now, most of you know I am very conservative when it comes to politics. But let me ask you, how can I be even a little conservative when it comes to following an awesome God? An awesome God who's done so much for each one of us. If you don't see Him leading, protecting, providing, healing, supplying, if you don't see those things every day of the week, you've become disconnected. We need to get reconnected. Amen? There's no way to be cognizant of God's constant love and care and at the same time be conservative or have reservations about displaying your feelings toward Him. That it's just gratitude brings that out. gratitude will make us rejoice in Him. And God has given us eternal life and a life more abundantly. And folks, we need to, He saved us from the damnation we deserve. Hallelujah. And folks, we just have to get loose a little bit, quit being so conservative in our Christian walk, in our Christian beliefs. It's not what God intended. It's not what God intended. And if we look around a little bit, we can see that He's constantly moving on our behalf. If we can't, then the devil's propaganda is influencing us. Amen? No way does the devil want us telling the world about Jesus. No way does he want us participate in his earthly ministry. No way does the devil want us honoring Jesus, glorifying his name, proclaiming his power. So what I want us to do is give the devil a black eye.
Amen?
Amen. And I want to glorify his name anyway. I want to proclaim his power. I think we need a hand clap of praise or appreciation. We just need to think about what God has done during this last week. Maybe you need to jump up and down for a moment. We have time. Hallelujah. Amen. But let's just celebrate here a minute. Amen. Come on. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. How about a short testimony about God's goodness this past week? Amen. Nicole, hang on. Maybe we'll have two.
You're first. Tuesday was John and my 14-year anniversary, and on my way home from work, I was in a car accident where the other lady was cutting her cross and I couldn't see her because she was cutting her car.
Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Rosie? Stand up, honey. Praise God.
Wow.
Praise God. Amen. I don't know, I may be talking out of place, but that's not normal for your son, is it, to do those kind of things?
My oldest one, he does different things, but I was truly blessed and truly humbled because he's trying
Amen.
To save to buy a house, and he's trying to save to buy a food truck for his business that he's trying to start a barbecue business.
Hallelujah.
So.
Amen.
He was thinking about it.
Amen. Amen. God's good all the time.
Amen.
Amen. Come on, give him a hand again. We need to appreciate what he does. All right, this morning I want to talk about outside-the-box friendships. Outside-the-box friendships. Hallelujah. And I'm so glad you're here today. Mm-hmm.
And when Vivian came in, she told me, when Mary came in, she told me, she said, I need to apologize to you. And I said, for what? You just got here. And she said that I didn't think of you the other day. She said a lady was offering her a free living room set of rattan furniture with valances and everything. And she said, when she asked me if I knew anybody who could come and pick it up, they could have it for free. She said, I didn't even think think of you. And I told her, well, that's okay, Mary. That was not my blessing. That blessing was meant for somebody else. If it was supposed to be mine,
Amen.
You would have thought of me directly. And so it wasn't meant to be mine. That was Wednesday. Saturday, my son blessed me.
Amen. 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 Thank you. All right. I consider you all my friends. Hallelujah. And even if you're one of our guests today, there's some of them, and I just want to call you my friend, and I want you to know how important you are to us today. Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 24, if you want to turn there, you can. Otherwise, I'll just read it, but Proverbs 18 verse 24 in the New King James Version says, a man who has friends must himself be friendly. But there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. A man who has friends must himself be friendly, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Most of us have to admit that good friendships are hard to find. Amen. As we approach the end of the age and time seems to be speeding up, the technology of today is causing personal interactions with others to become less and less authentic. Things like email, texting, Facebook, they allow us to communicate with our friends, but they do not allow us the opportunity for any face-to-face conversation or ultimate companionship. Do you understand what I just said? I want to emphasize that by a story. This past week on TV, they had a documentary about Japan. Japan's population is shrinking, and before long, they won't have enough people to fill the jobs that are required to maintain their present-day way of life. The country has become worried. Why is the population shrinking? Well, the reasons they gave was that they are so enmeshed into the current ways of communicating that they have lost the ability to relate to each other one-on-one. No one is getting married. It's too uncomfortable to be in such a close relationship. It's far safer to be at a distance. Consequently, without marriage and with growing isolation in the country, the population keeps shrinking. However, instead of teaching communication skills and attempting to do things that will reestablish relationships, Japan is in an all-out effort to build robots which will take place of the shrinking population and the jobs that they do before it's too late. Incidentally, I saw this happening when I took a temporary job out at Marathon a few years back, and I commented to many of you about the isolation it was causing. What a difference between the time I was originally there and then this temporary time. These modern-day ways of communicating, folks, are fantastic. They're convenient and easy, and folks, that's the only reason we really use them. But they can never take the place of real people connecting with real people face to face. We know that strong relationships are formed usually through adversity. Often it's a fire that causes things to be tempered and strengthened. Steel becomes hardened only after it's been heated and cooled. In the same sense, relationships that have endured hardship are most often the strongest of relationships. So the friendships in this room that have formed the strongest relationships have probably been through a few tough times together. Now, I want you to know that you have some real friends who care about you.
Amen.
You do.
Amen.
A friend will always take time. It is a blessing, Kathleen. A friend will always take time to share something they enjoy with you. Amen. They will even introduce you to people or organizations that can help you when you have a need. The reason some of you are here today is because a friend thought enough of you to invite you to Turning Point Church.
Amen.
Amen. They had found something they believed to be good, so they wanted to share it with you. They had found something that had made sense to them. They had found something that was helping them, and they couldn't keep it a secret from you. That's because you have a special place in their heart.
Amen.
Amen? They care about you. They're concerned about you. You are their friend. And wouldn't you treat your friend the same way? Absolutely. Now, most often in a typical church, people only become casual friends. Casual. And of course, there's some of that here. Oh, they shake hands, they greet one another on Sunday morning, but sadly they don't connect any other time. While these people share an intimate experience on Sunday as they worship God together, they most often know very little about what's going on in the other people's lives during the rest of the week. The hardships and trials some people endure throughout the week are often unknown to the rest of us. So then we fail to pray for each other. One of the reasons God has put us together. We simply do not know what they're experiencing in their families or on their jobs. We're not privy to the circumstances they face. Now, I know from experience that most churches only want to create casual fellowship. Listen to me. They only want to create casual fellowship, thus eliminating the problems that can result from a close relationship. And problems can come from close relationships. But here we work hard to form close relationships.
Amen.
Amen? We want close relationships. We honestly believe that love will overcome any negative situation. Believe that with all my heart. And when we love one another, helping and encouraging will come to the forefront of every relationship, every friendship, right?
Amen.
Amen. Love for Jesus and love for one another. So we don't want just casual relationships here. We don't want handshakes and smiles alone. We want to develop genuine outside-the-box friendships. Different friendships. Amen? Good friendships. Good relationships. Folks, it's the strongest families who maintain the strongest relationships. So it is the strongest churches, they're the churches that have the closest relationships. We cannot be an outside-the-box church if we all have casual friendships. We've got to get to know one another. Amen?
Amen?
Got to depend on one another. And in knowing one another, we will be motivated to help one another.
Amen?
Amen? And if a problem arises, God will teach us how to love one another through it. Through it. Why would I help you if I do not love you, and how can I love you if I don't know you? What happens with casual relationships in the church, and we've seen it here, is that when a trouble comes, it usually becomes an embarrassment to people, and they end up leaving the church. But if we love each other, what's trouble? It's time to team up.
Opportunity for teaming up.
Amen. You with me, folks?
Amen.
A church that has only casual friendships will not reach the community.
Right.
If the church does not care about the needs of those who attend, then its members will rarely look at the church for guidance or help. I remember a friend of mine coming to us shortly after the church began. He needed help. He was in trouble. It was dire. He needed help. I asked why his own church wasn't helping. He said he asked them and was simply told they could do nothing. He needed more faith. Obviously, it was their idea that this man needed to go through this hardship in order to build his faith. So they did nothing, and they didn't even pray for him. So our church helped him. Don't you think that the church should be the first place a family thinks of when they are struggling? How many of you believe that's true with people? That's not true. Should be, but it's not. Healing should come from the church. Help should come from the church. Spiritual guidance should come from the church. And the church should be a place where families and communities come together to support, encourage, and love one another. Amen? Why? Well, because the dysfunctional church will create dysfunctional families, and dysfunctional families create dysfunctional communities. I think we've got dysfunctional communities down pat. So let's make a turn at the source of this. Let's change what begins, where it all begins. Now, love, help, healing, prayer, encouragement, and spiritual guidance are all involved in the friendships of those in an outside-the-box church. Let me say that again. Love, help, healing, prayer, encouragement, spiritual guidance are all involved in the friendships of those in an outside-the-box church. But not only does God expect us to have relationships with each other, but he expects us to have an ongoing relationship with his Son, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. Jesus is yearning to have a relationship with you and me. Amen? James chapter 2, verse 23, it says, "And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, and he was called a friend of God." A friend of God. What an amazing thing to be called a friend of God. Amen? So how does someone become a friend of God? Well, it starts with like any other relationship, with an introduction. Amen? An introduction. John chapter 1, verse 45 and 46. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." And Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." Come and see. Have you ever heard someone say something like that about Jesus or about their church? Not very often. Some may ask, what good is there in going to church? Why would I want to go there? What's so big about God? To which we answer, come and see. Come and see. Hallelujah. As hard as you try, brothers and sisters, you'll never be able to explain to people what God can do for them. Amen? You never will. to accomplish our goal and win this generation for Jesus Christ, you just need to get them here. You just need to get them into church. Hallelujah. Come check it out. Come check it out. See for yourself. I've had a lot of people tell me that the roof of the church would fall in if they ever stepped foot inside this, inside the place. And I've yet to see such a calamity. Amen. But on the contrary, I have witnessed people over and over again having their life changed forever by attending church.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Now, I have discovered, just as many as you have, that God is and can be an amazing friend. An amazing friend. Scripture we read earlier said there's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother, and that is Jesus Christ. No question about it. He is there for you all the time. And it doesn't matter if you call on Him in the middle of the night to tell Him about your situation or for His input into your problems. He is always concerned about your job, your family, and the many things that burden you folks. So in this friendship, Jesus asks that invites us to ask Him for anything.
Amen.
Anything. Luke 11:9 says this, "So I say to you, ask, and it will be given you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you." Anything you need. Anything you need. Now, that sounds like a lot of good friends I've had in my life, right? Hey, Jerry, if you need something, just call. Right? You've probably said that to people. I've said that to people. If you need something, just call. Hey, brother, anything you need, just ask. Whatever I can do to help, let me know. Let me know. Don Crabtree said the other night to me when he was here that if he'd known we were doing the work on this building, he would have dropped what he was doing in Mexico and been up here helping us.
Amen.
Now, that's a friend. That's a friend, folks. Hallelujah. Today, Jesus is declaring to us, ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened to you. That's what friends are like. That's what friends do. It astounds me, and Carol said something about this morning in Sunday school. It astounds me that God desires this kind of friendship with me. It astounds me. But He desires it with all of us. And many of us don't think we're worthy of it. Sometimes we may feel we don't deserve it. And there's even times when we don't want it. Right? But our thoughts and feelings do not negate the fact that Jesus is still here right now, reaching out to us in love, in perfect love, in everlasting love, in boundless love.
Amen.
Amen. Our friend. Our friend, folks. As we close this service this morning, I want us to all consider our relationships, our relationship with others, and our relationship with the Lord. I think everyone here realizes that Jesus wants to have real friendship with you, a friendship that's outside the box. It's not normal. If somebody says, oh, I do this and I do that and because I love Jesus so much, well, that's the box. What are you going to do? What can you do past that? Well, I do that and that, but I also go looking to help somebody. I also do this. I also want to be used when I'm at my job. I also want to help somebody when I see somebody in desperate trouble.
Yeah.
Amen? That's outside the box thinking, folks. Hallelujah. It is healthy and advantageous for you to have solid, loving, close relationships with people that work, live, and play around you. It's healthy for you. You know, God gave us life and gave it to us abundantly. I think life is living, just living. I think abundant life is when you get out of that living stage and do something different, right? Do something with somebody. When was the last time you just laughed your belly off with somebody? Right? Yesterday. Praise God. Praise God. It's healthy for you to be around people. Amen? Praise God. Today's society, we are losing that kind of friendship. I used to comment on my next door neighbor who is a bachelor. He'd come home, his garage door would go up, he'd drive in the garage door would come down, and that's all you see of him. But I'm seeing that more and more and more in every house. Folks, what is going on? There are too many plots of the enemy, too many things going on to rob us of the very things we need. Listen, any one of us could get in a desperate situation today, tomorrow, next week. You're going to need somebody during that time. If you neglect them all the time before, why would they even know about your situation? But Brother Jerry, that's a lot of work. You bet. So is marriage. So is walking a Christian walk. So is everything that you do, a lot of work. But you get to sleep at night. You get to rest. Yeah. As we get older, we don't do that so well anymore. Yeah. Hallelujah. Folks, you getting my picture here? Are you getting my picture? Out of the box. Hallelujah. Now, I don't want to follow the way of Japan. I want strong relationships. I want to be involved in strong relationships. I want to see strong relationships. I want to be an outside-the-box Christian and have friends. Friends who love and trust, amen? Friends who to talk with, to cry with, to shout with, to joke with. Friends with whom I enjoy spending time together. Amen. Well, we have nothing in common. Where's Jesus? Where's Jesus? Friends who encourage each other, connect with each other. It's vital. Brothers and sisters, it's vital. It's vital to have a friendship with Jesus Christ, but expand that into the people that are all around you. In Proverbs 18:24, what we started off with, a man who has friends must himself be friendly, but there's a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Jesus said, the Bible said, no greater friend but a friend who lays down his life for you. There is no greater friend than that. Jesus did that for each of us. Hallelujah. I want to get away from the norm of isolation. I want to begin enjoying the abundant life he's given us. Am I making any sense to y'all today? A good friend is most precious. We need to love them, we need to help them, we need to pray for them, we need to encourage them, and we need to get them to Jesus. We need to make sure that they're a friend of Jesus. Amen. Open your heart, folks, to this deeper walk. I want to go to a scripture, 1 John chapter 3. Turn with me there if you got your Bible. And I'm going to read out of the New Living Translation. We're going to close with this. Are you there? 1 John chapter 3. Starting in verse 10. So now we can tell you are children of God and who are children of the devil. Anyone who does not live righteously and does not love others, other believers, does not belong to God. This is the message you've heard from the beginning. We should love one another. We must not be like Cain, who belonged to the evil one and killed his brother. And why did he kill him? Because Cain had been doing what was evil, and his brother had been doing what was righteous. So don't be surprised, dear brothers and sisters, if the world hates you. If we love our Christian brothers and sisters, it proves that we have passed from death to life. But a person who has no love is still dead. Anyone who hates another brother or sister is really a murderer at heart. And you know that murderers don't have eternal life within them. We know that real love is because Jesus gave up his life for us, so we also ought to give up our lives for our brothers and sisters. If someone has enough money to live well and sees a brother or sister in need but shows no compassion, how can God's love be in that person? Dear children, let's not merely say that we love each other. Let us show the truth by our actions. Our actions will show that we belong to the truth, so we will be confident when we stand before God. Even if we feel guilty, God is greater than our feelings, and He knows everything. Dear friends, if we don't feel guilty, we can come to God with bold confidence, and we will receive from Him whatever we ask because we obey Him and do the things that please Him. And this is His commandment. We must believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another just as He commanded us. Those who obey God's commandments remain in fellowship with Him and He with them. And we know He lives in us because the Spirit He gave us lives in us. Amen. Hallelujah. So folks, we're commissioned to love each other. If you go home today and say, did you hear what that old preacher said? Check your heart. You might need to go home and make a phone call. Hey, I didn't see you in church today. I missed you. Just wanted you to know I love you. Thinking about you. Hallelujah. Folks, His truth will set you free. Amen. If you follow His truth, it will transform your life. Amen. Amen. Let's stand together. Now, I want to pray and say a blessing over you. And then I want a hug fest in this place.